The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. But before we begin, I want to let you know that we have now scheduled a mission trip to the Philippines coming in October. So for those of you that want to support this ministry as we are going into the world making disciples of all nations, I encourage you to go to our website, sogmi.org, and you can make a donation to support the mission work that we are doing here at Sons of God Ministries International. Today, we're going to be talking about something that's very important in the kingdom of God, and this is about investments. Now, many of us, we have a general understanding of investments. The idea of an investment is that you are committing resources into something, expecting it to gain value over time. Many people don't realize that this is something we also do in the body of Christ, but we are not investing and we are not seeing something produce a return necessarily with material things, but instead the kind of investments that we make are spiritual. And in everything that we do, we have to remember that we are motivated by furthering the kingdom of God and serving and honoring God. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because something that we have to combat in this day is this sort of nonprofit mindset, right? When you start a ministry, you're going to register it as a nonprofit, probably a 501c3, so you don't have to pay taxes on it. But this, unfortunately, has kind of gotten us into this mindset where we're thinking in nonprofit terms. I don't need to produce a profit. I don't need to produce a return. But in the kingdom of God, actually, we are expected to produce a return with the opportunities that God has given us. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that we're producing money or material wealth, but God has opened doors of opportunity to us. He's given us all talents, abilities, and opportunities, and we are supposed to produce something with that. This can be so simply explained through the parable of the talents. And then there's also the parable of the 10 minas. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a master who's going away on a long trip. And so he calls forth some of his servants and he gives each of them money according to their ability. To one, he gives 5 talents. To one, he gives 2 talents. And to one, he gives 1 talent. And he goes away on his trip. And when he comes back, he now settles accounts with them. He is expecting that the money he invested in them produced a return. So you had the one servant who got the 5, he produced 10. And then you had another one with 2 that produced 5. And then the one who only received 1 talent, well, he was thrown out into a place of bitterness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the end, we are going to have to give an account for what we have done with the time, resources, talents, and opportunities God has given us. And when that time happens, will we have good fruit to give and show the Lord? Okay, so this is one way in which God has invested into us. Now, these servants, they took money given to them by their master. Now, in those days, a talent was equivalent to 20 years' wages for workers. So this was not a small sum of money, right? Sometimes you might read this and you're like, well, that guy had 5 talents. He was at least given some, but that guy was only given 1 talent. Even the servant that only received 1 talent was given a sizable investment. I mean, if you could take today's wages, for example, so it was equivalent to 20 years' wages for the average worker. The median salary right now in the U.S. is like somewhere between $60,000 to $62,000. Multiply that by 20, you wind up with like $1.2 million. So a really easy calculation when you read the parable of the talents is just to look at it like this. 1 talent is equivalent to about $1 million in today's currency. Now, knowing that, the parable reads a little differently, right? And that's why some translations, rather than saying talents, they actually will say bags of gold, because that more accurately kind of describes what we would perceive it as. But now it's like when one guy was given 5 talents, now you know, okay, that's equivalent to about $5 million, give or take. Maybe $1.2 million times 5. The guy who was given 2 talents was given, you know, equivalent to about $2 million, maybe a bit more. The guy who given 1 talent was given equivalent to about $1 million. Now, these men, the master expected that they would take that money and begin putting it to work. They would invest it into other places. You know, maybe they're purchasing land and putting that to work. Maybe they're investing in different kind of banking things so that it would return interest, whatever it was. The important thing is they were putting to work that which the master gave them. In the same way, we also have to put to work what the Lord has given us. Whatever opportunities he's given us, we should be investing it in the spiritual realm. And this is the other part, which is that we ourselves are making investments. Every day you wake up, you are choosing how to spend the resources and time that has been given to you. And truthfully, the most precious resource we have is our time. That is something we can never, ever, ever get back. Something that Jesus said was in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." Now, our treasure, yes, it is our resources, right? Those things that you spend the most money on, well, maybe your heart is in those things. But our treasure is also our time and our talent and our attention. What are you spending the majority of your time doing? What are you spending the majority of your resources in doing? If you look at those, there you will see what your priorities are and where your heart is. And if the majority of your time and your money is going to maybe fulfilling your own desires, pursuing those things that you want for yourself, your selfish ambition, desires, whatever it is, then your heart is not truly with the Lord. As Jesus said, if you go down to verse 24, and again, this is Matthew chapter 6, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And this is true across the board. Whatever it is that you are devoting the majority of your time and resources, that is where your heart is. And it is those people who truly have a heart after God that God is going to use mightily in the revival that he is stirring up in this nation right now. Think, for example, somebody like Noah. Noah received a word from the Lord. The Lord said, "You must build an ark because I am bringing a flood that is going to flood the whole earth." Now, God gave Noah and he told him the materials. He told him the blueprint. He told them how it was going to be assembled together, what kind of pitch to use to cover the boat, what kind of wood to use to build the boat. But Noah still had to go out and acquire the materials. He still had to go out and spend time actually constructing the boat. The Bible tells us that Noah was more than 500 years old when the Lord spoke to him, and he was 600 years old when him and his family entered the ark. So you're talking about potentially decades of Noah's life being dedicated to obeying the Lord. And this was no small task. Think of the monetary investment that may have had to come on part of Noah. That means all of his extra money, it's probably going to that ark. If he's got a free weekend, well, he's spending it building that ark. You know, maybe he's foregoing on that family vacation. Maybe he's foregoing on this or that because, you know what, I really need to make sure that I have enough resources and time set aside to obey the Lord because God gave me this instruction. So we know in Noah's life, he decided to prioritize with his time, his money, and his resources obeying the Lord. And we have to do the same. We have to examine our lives. And many of us, we are investing in things that are temporary, that don't produce an eternal return, that will fade away, when we could choose to invest our time, our money, and resources into things that are eternal. So on one part, we're being invested in. God has invested in you, and also spiritual leaders, maybe people who have trained you, have invested in you. This, for example, is seen in Acts chapter 18. What happens is that there's this Jewish man by the name of Apollos, and he's well-spoken, he's smart, he's educated, and he's going around arguing the scriptures and showing that Jesus is the Son of God. But Apollos had not been fully trained. The scripture tells us that he only knew of the baptism of John. So here he is. He has this little revelation about Jesus, and he's running with it. He's putting to work the revelation he was given, and he is doing the best he can. So it says in Acts chapter 18, verse 25, but Apollos only knew of the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila, who were apostles, heard him, they invited him into their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Right? They saw this guy. They said, wow, he is really charismatic, well-spoken, smart, and he's taking the revelation he has and he's putting it to work. So Priscilla and Aquila said, we are going to train him. We're going to invest in him because we know he's going to take what we give him and run with it. So they trained Apollos and helped disciple him. In the next verse, verse 27, when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. So he was a huge help to the church in this other city. We should, just as we are being invested into by the Holy Spirit and by whatever spiritual leader might have been discipling you, you need to be investing in others as well. You have to take the good news and the training and the revelation you've received and build others up. And that will spread. They will build others up, and they will build others up, and they will build others up. And suddenly the whole world has heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus told us, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, right? So we are expected to take what has been given to us and invest it into others. And in doing so, that initial seed that may have started with you, it will have an exponential return. And that's an exciting thing, guys, right? So, you know, an investment, you might have heard terms called compounding investments, right? Where you gain interest on the things that you've invested in, you get a return on it, and then you take that return and you reinvest it. And then you reinvest and you reinvest it, and they compound on each other to where suddenly the growth increases at a faster rate. When you take what God has given you, you invest it in those around you, wherever you are, you're planting good seeds, right? You're just sowing seeds into others' lives. Seeds of light, seeds of goodness. Many of those people will catch that seed. It will grow in them, and they will start sowing seeds in other people's lives. And that investment will grow again and again and again exponentially. This is something that God wants his church to operate in, right? So the nonprofit mindset's actually wrong. We should be producing a return for what Jesus has given us, right? And again, it's not about money. It's that God has planted the seeds in us. It's time for us to produce the fruits. This is why preaching, it's not the pinnacle in the body of Christ. And for year after year after year, we have so many leaders where all they can do is preach, and then they train other people how to preach. And, you know, they'll use the same exact stories, the same exact jokes, and they just reproduce after themselves. But there's no signs and wonders. There's no move of the Spirit. No fruits from all the effort that has been put in. They have not produced a return from the revelation that God has planted in them, because all they know how to do is preach. without signs and wonders following them. And many times, many of these ministries, right, they'll come around, please, please, please give. You have to give. You have to sow a seed or we're going to shut down business. We're going to have to close down the ministry. If you don't give now, please, please, please just give. I want you to imagine, right, let's get outside of the ministry for a second. Imagine you are an investor and a business approaches you because they want you to invest in their business. And they come in and they say, please, 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 we need money. We're not going to be able to make the rent. We're not going to be able to pay our workers or payroll or anything. If you don't give us $1 million right now, we're going to have to declare bankruptcy. If you're the investor in that moment, you're going to think, no. Why would I give you money? Because you have not been able to handle what has been given to you at this time. Well, you know, we've been losing money every year, but please, if you just give us money, we'll be able to stay open for another year. There's no investor in the world worth his salt that would give you that money. Not a single one of them would write the check because they would understand this is a bad investment. You are going to lose the money. When the Lord God gives us a revelation, he expects us to act on it and to spread it around. Because Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will speak in other tongues. They will cast out demons. These are signs of the believers. These are fruits that would be produced by the Spirit of God working in you. And the disciples, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they caused a whole commotion in the middle of Jerusalem. And it said that 3,000 were added to their numbers in that day because they saw that the Spirit of God was upon them. So we as the church, right, we can't have this mindset that, oh, we're just barely making it by and like we're just kind of keeping the status quo. No. When God is moving, things are expanding, things are changing, things are happening. We need to be producing fruits. Now, not every investment is going to produce a return. And sometimes the Lord will even prevent you from investing in something because it's a bad investment. This happens with Acts chapter 8, verse 9. It says that now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention, exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. Right? So this Simon the sorcerer, you know, he's a somebody, okay? And he gets a lot of attention, okay? And he likes to revel in that attention. Now they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they simply had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. He said, give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. So the Holy Spirit directed Peter not to disciple or anoint Simon the sorcerer because his heart was not right with God. He was not interested in actually being used by the Lord. He wanted to move in the gifts because he wanted the attention again. He wanted people to follow him for the spectacle, right? People called Simon the sorcerer. They said, truly, this is the great power of God. He wanted to reproduce that. Wow, the disciples are getting all this attention. I want the attention. Here, I'll pay you, Peter. So investing in Simon would have produced bad fruits. You see, I've talked a lot about investments that produce good fruits, but there are also bad investments. And everything, every place, in our lives, we are sowing seeds. When we wake up each day, we are sowing seeds. And those seeds will produce a fruit. But have you been investing in godly things? Or have they been in worldly, carnal, selfish things? As I said at the beginning, where your treasures are, there your heart is also. In Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Every day, God is giving us opportunities to sow seeds in places and in people, right? We're being given opportunities to make good and bad investments. And our most valuable commodity, our most precious resource, is our time. You can choose to use the majority of your time to serve yourself and your own desires, or you can choose to offer it unto the Lord. And I want to encourage you, pursue the Lord each and every day, and you will find him. And this is what I'm talking about with investments, right? Because again, it's not about money, but there is a return that will be produced, and it's one that does not fade. It is one that is eternal. And it's one that, if you invest in the kingdom of God, sowing seeds of light and goodness to people around you, you're going to meet Jesus on Judgment Day, and he's going to be greeting you with a smile. And he's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful one." And that'll be such a joyous, joyous time. Think back in your own life. Think of all the times where you wish somebody would have explained things to you, would have given you the training how to understand some of these things that you had so many questions about. We can invest in others, make it easier for them so that they can run further than we ever ran before. God has called us, his church, to rebuild those desolate ruins that are all around the world right now. A desolate ruin in the education, in politics, in media, entertainment. I mean, even in the dating scene. If you've seen what the dating scene is like right now, it's a mess. God has called his church to be the light that would shine in those dark places. And think of the reach and the return that an investment like that may produce. If all of us start sowing these good seeds and being the light, man, the country will never, ever, ever be the same again. And there's one such example like this. It's an investment that was made by a man named Stephen. You see, Stephen was the first Christian martyr, right? Jesus, he died on the cross, he rose again. Stephen was the first Christian martyr. He was dragged before the Sanhedrin, and they didn't want to hear anything he was going to say, and they dragged him outside to stone him. And while they were stoning him, there was a man there on the sidelines holding on to all their coats, right? If they wanted to throw a stone at Stephen, they dropped their coat off by this guy, and that guy stood there approving of the killing of Stephen. And that man was a man by the name of Saul. But Stephen understood that there was still potential for God's move out there. And it says in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, "While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of their killing of him." But this was a seed, an investment of forgiveness that Stephen planted unknowingly in Saul. And Saul would go on to become the Apostle Paul, who wrote a big chunk of the New Testament. We don't know what kind of return that these investments that we plant in other people may produce. We just need to remember to continue to be faithful in serving the Lord. Where every day you wake up, rather than thinking about how can I be blessed today, think about how can I be a blessing to others? How can I sow seeds other people's lives? And then you're already on track to operating in the leadership position in the church. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso. and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.